Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Welcome. We are so grateful to have all of you here. It's exciting to see everybody's smiling faces. We're going to have a very jam-packed, full, fun couple days together. Myself, Rochelle, our office team is all super excited to have you here. And it's going to be full tilt because I only do things that way. So first of all, our journey itinerary. If you look on in your note packet, okay, it should be the front page the way I laid it out, or the second or third page, somewhere really close. There you go. With an outline of events and time frames so people can be aware of what the schedule is, where they are, where they need to be, who's presenting when and what. Lunch will be from noon to 1:30, as it is indicated there. And the suggested time for ending the day is there also. Suggested time, 7 o'clock. We gave you just some things about the whole event. We gave you notepads so you can write feverishly because you learn better writing than typing. That's been shown over and over again. You also learn better writing than taking pictures of the screen. Okay. Yes. And when we go too fast, just let me know and I'll slow down. And in addition to that, what will also help tremendously is when there are questions that become tangents, I am going to try to remember to redirect those to, because I want people to ask questions, but when there's a question that's like, oh, this is going to be too much of a tangent, to our panel time. At the end of each day, we're going to have a panel question and answer time. So I suggest you write down, like I'll say, oh, you know what, Matthew, that's good for, say that for the panel, because that will be good for that, or whatever it is. Does that make sense? Because we'll make sure that we get through the material and content that we want to help you gain from being here as much as possible. And that those panel, last time we did this, it was the first time we did a panel. How do people like that? Yeah, it was outstanding. It worked incredibly. So we decided we're going to do that both nights so that you can have everybody that you need to ask questions and we can go deep. And that panel might be what puts us over the end time. But well, that way we can address everybody's things and very well and very effectively. Also, I'll tell you, the food here is really good. So at the restaurant, they have great food at this restaurant. And on Saturday night, we arranged this incredible dinner party on this rooftop bar that's about 10 minutes from here. That's what time do we reserve that for, Julie?
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. Okay. So everybody's invited. Obviously, be there. It's going to be fun. As long as it's not raining, we'll be on the rooftop with this great view of the mountains. Awesome?
Yeah.
Awesome. So it'll be great fun. Okay. So first thing, we're going to start our day with an incantation. Now, Tony Robbins says there's incantations, okay, and incantations. And there's a difference. And you want to make sure you say more incantations than incantations. So we're going to have everybody stand up. And this one is in your notebook, and it's also on the screen. Ready? Everyone stand up. Everybody fully participating. All right? And so we'll say this all together. This would be a good morning huddle. You ready? All right. Our office gratefully exists to serve others with loving compassion. Our purpose is to close the door on sickness and disease by teaching the world the importance of a healthy spine and nerve system. We exist to deliver people from the bondage of illness into the realm of vibrant health and well-being. The universe sends people from everywhere. They do whatever it takes and are happy to pay our reasonable fees. We expect everyone to heal perfectly and their expectations to be exceeded regardless of the severity of their condition. We visualize everyone well, expressing optimum life and health. We are a powerful lighthouse, a safe harbor, an oasis where life, health, and peace abound. There are no shortages here, only abundance, no loss, only celebration. We see more than 1,000 practices per week, more than 200 per day, and as many as 15 new practice members per day. We acknowledge the divine organizing wisdom of the universe with all the credit for our successes and gratitude for all of our blessings. Amen. Now, I apologize for the typos I noticed as we said them. The non-typoed version is in your notes. But last night, I noticed I only had it as a PDF, so I had to type it at like 2 in the morning, so now I realize, oh, there's a lot of typos. But the one with, but the one without typos is in your notes, okay? Go, everybody can be seated. Now, I want to ask you a question. I want you to be honest. When you said at the end those numbers that were sprung upon you of 1,000 people per week and 200 per day, how many people, you can be honest and authentic, like had something they felt unusual in their body as they said that? Raise your hand. Okay. Notice that, all right? So here's the important thing about that. Whether you want to see 200 people a week or 1,000 people a week or 3,000 or 300 or whatever the number is, there's most likely a part of you that doesn't want to do that. And if whatever number you think is like, this is my goal, and you were to push it up like 100 up from there, and then you say it, you'll feel a check in your spirit of like, oh, I don't know if I can do that or I handle that, or these self-doubts come in. But this is because the majority of the limits that we put for our practice, if not all the limits, come from us. And so there's a point where they say, old school, think and grow rich, you know, take your goals and write them down and read them 3 times a day so you actually get that they're in there, when there's that, because that's to self-program you that you actually want to do that. So if you set those numbers, and then if you're talking with your team, by the way, I want to acknowledge all the people that brought their team. Awesome. And all the outstanding team members that are here, because these doctors need you to support them, all right? They really need you to support them. So here's the thing. When you have something like that and you put your real goals, whatever they are, and say that, and then say that as a team, maybe your team might say, oh, wow, we're seeing 100 people. Like, I don't know if I want to see 400. Or whatever you may have as a visual, or you know, your whatever your goal that you've set for you. But you need to help raise them up to where you want to be, because otherwise they're not going to help you get there. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Because if they can't handle the vibration of that, that will get blocked. And here's what this is. So what happens, and I heard my dad say this a long time ago, and it's so true, which was, he said, people are seeing this many people a week, you know, 100, 50 people a week or whatever it is, or 150, and they want to see 800 or whatever that number is. And they can think about the 50 or 100 they're at and the 800, but they forget about, well, what does it take to get to 150? And 200 and 225, like those numbers don't energize them. For some reason, where they are energizes them, and that vision of like 1,000 people a week or whatever your number is, right? But they don't realize they have to grow to all the steps that are in the middle. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because that growth is over here, and you're hanging out over here feeling comfortable with whatever number of people you're seeing and serving because you somehow feel okay. It can pay your bills, it can pay your car, it can pay your home, you can get groceries, you can eat out once in a while, and that's okay. And you don't realize that, oh, if I want to get somewhere else, I have to get uncomfortable to get there. So there's a lot of things that about the way that Dr. Rochelle and I and our team do initial visits and do exams that are going to push buttons and are going to stretch you. Because I and her in our office probably ran our office originally exactly like most of you do, for years and years and years. And we got to a point where I was probably 30 pounds heavier than I am now. And we were going a lot more hours than we're doing. And we had little kids. And I was so physically exhausted. And I remember thinking, I'm seeing 180 people. And I don't know how I could physically do anymore. Like, I'm maxed out as what I'm physically capable of. And I was 31. Mm-hmm. Or something in that range. I had to be 31 or 32. And I thought, that how could people do more? I can't physically do more. I feel unhealthy. I feel exhausted. This is not possible. And the changing point, one of the largest points of the that change was changing how we do initial visits to the way we do them. Because I probably did all the stuff that that you're doing. And when we changed it, it was really uncomfortable. And it took me like 2 or 3 years to make the changes that I was supposed to make. Because I dragged my feet, I didn't want to do it, I thought it wasn't going to work, I didn't believe it, and so on. Rochelle, yes. Was that the case?
Yes.
And like I just changed what I was told to do and recommended to do, like just a little bit, because it made me feel comfortable. All right? So I totally anticipate that some of how we do things around the day one will make you feel that way. And that's okay. It's allowed. It's just, I also want you to have a vision of what you could do and what's possible, and that, 15 new people in a day could be easy. It could be like no sweat. You wouldn't even notice that it happened. Okay? And that seems hard to believe. The first time we had 17 new visits in a day. 17 in a day. And again, just to get you uncomfortable, because you may not want to do that, but I want you to understand what's possible. The first time we had 17 new people in a day, we had, I was going to tell the story, but it's funny, so I'm going to tell it. We had lost our team members, and we were down to one CA, and we had little kids. And so I was going to be doing parts of doing initial visit, which I had not done in a while. And we had just signed up at that time for telemarketing. I'm not recommending you do telemarketing. It was very effective for us at the time. It was hugely effective for us in a very positive way at the time. But the way that works is they overbook you. 3 new people across and 4 people across. All day, and you don't know what's there until you get a fax the night before with all the patients they scheduled. So we had one CA and me, and the plan was to have Rochelle adjust people and I would do the initial visits, which seemed like a plan until we got the fax at like 9 at night with 33 new people on it. For the first day, because we had signed up for this like a month ago, and it was to take a while to process, and we didn't know that was going to be the first day. And we freaked out. I think it was more like 7 at night. And we freaked out. And what are we going to do? And we've been interviewing, but we hadn't hired anybody yet. And we were taking x-rays at this point. Not digital, like old school, you have to develop x-rays. And so at that time, I remember freaking out, and I called our coach at the time, and he said to me, first of all, calm down. This is what you've always wanted. This is the bus dropping off new people at your office tomorrow, and you're stopping that from your energy. I was like, okay, I got it. I understand the principle. Now what do I do? And he told me, well, you've been interviewing people. Who's the best person? I was like, well, there's one person that was the best, but I wasn't thinking I was going to hire her. And here's why. She just graduated from college. the res she was really good, she interviewed really well, but the resume was like on sparkly paper. And I thought, I really don't think it's a good idea to hire this person. Well, but she was the best of the bunch. So he said, call her and see if she'll be there at 7 a.m. tomorrow. See if she'll be there to help you at 7 a.m. tomorrow. I said, she doesn't know how to do anything. He said, call her, see if she'll be there. I called her, and she was bartending and going to be bartending till 3 a.m. or something. But she said she'd be there at 7. And she was there. And by the at the end of the day, when the dust cleared at 7 p.m., we had seen 17 new people taking x-rays. She was doing histories, having never worked in a chiropractic office before. Wow. It was exactly, that was the word, trial. And she didn't quit. She didn't quit. Rochelle was just in the adjusting room, adjusting people. She was watching us run around. She didn't quit. In fact, she worked for us for 2 or 3 years, and this is going to be pretty amazing, what I say next. She actually ended up marrying David Epstein, whoa, my brother.
Wow.
Katie.
Oh, that's cool.
So, my point being, you are most likely living like this in your office. You have a big vision, you have a big purpose, you have amazing things you can do with your hands and changing people's lives for the better, and you are so hugely impactful, but you're living like this. And you have to get into a bigger fishbowl and know that more is possible. And that will stretch you and feel a little uncomfortable, and you're gonna say, like, well, that can't work, how could that be, and so on. But you'll hear from our team that we're doing that every day. So also realize there's no passion to be found in playing small and settling for a life that's less than the one you're capable of living. All of you are capable of living so much more impactfully than you are. As impactful as you are, as impactful as I am, as impactful as Matthew Mancuso is, as impactful as Rochelle is, as impactful as Robin Graber's been, all of you have the capacity, all of us have the capacity to be much more impactful than we've been living up to. And the world needs us to be. And that's one of the reasons why I just had an impetus to do the things with the Lifetime Wellness Practice Inner Circle. It's just, I end up doing things in an action way, or following through with them with action when I get extremely frustrated. Like, I get enough irritation that I'm like, okay, I've got to do something about this. And so even if the doing something might be uncomfortable, I realize this has to happen, which is that I get extremely frustrated seeing the level of lack of success or lack of impact in people that do various low-force tonal approaches. They have the most tremendous gift in chiropractic healing arts. And so all the different variations of that, truly. They play at such a small level, and so they can be so much more successful than they have been. And so I want to help that. And realize this. You're more needed. This is the current situation. 7 out of 10 Americans take one prescription. 7 out of 10. Okay? More than 50% take 2 prescriptions. 20% of Americans are on at least 5 prescription medications. 20%. And like I thought, I looked that up because this week I had someone, they got up off the table and I thought, they're not getting it. They're not moving. Nothing's happening. They're quiet. Nothing's going on. I don't know why they're still coming in. They've been coming in for a month. I hope they stay. You know, like all this is going on. The guy was actually referred to me by another chiropractor because the other chiropractor said, I can't help you. You need to go see these people because he was going down the path of having spinal surgery. And so I get up, off the table. I said, I just want to acknowledge you because he drives from Denver to our office. I'm like, man, he's not responding to anything and he's driving 45 minutes to get to us. Like, how long is he going to stay in the boat, right? So I say to him, you know, I just really want to acknowledge you for your commitment, making your appointments, being so engaged, you're following through amazingly. And I know it was a transition to commit and, you know, I'm just really happy for that. He just looks at me, he said, I haven't taken a pain medication in a month. And I thought nothing was happening. I just stopped and looked. I said, really? He said, yeah, I've not taken a single pain medication in a month. And I said, well, were you taking them a lot before? He's like, oh, I was eating them like candy. And I'm sure my liver's a lot happier too. That's what he said. So, I mean, so we are having such a big impact. And the rise in stuff, and obviously we all know chiropractic is so much bigger than this, but it's a very good thing to illustrate how much need there is for us, right? This was 1997, pill consumption, prescription medication consumption, and this is 2016. It's doubled, right? It's insane. It's absolute insanity, and we have, you know, an answer for so many people. And us playing small does not do anything to help them. Finding ways to increase your capacity, make your office more efficient, see more people, to market better, is not about you. It's not about you having more money in your pocket, though that is a wonderful side effect, okay? Because it's a reflection of that. So like if you lose weight on a scale, it's great to see that go down. That's not the why of doing it. The why of doing it is living longer, being more fit, feeling more energetic, having, you know, all of those things, but the number's a measure. So seeing more people and seeing your numbers go up and seeing your amount of money go up is like looking at the number of the scale, but just a measure of how much impact you're having on people's lives and how much you're helping people, right? And so playing small doesn't serve the world. And here's the thing, there's absolutely no shortage of new patients. Do you ever go to a game? We were at a Rockies game the other night. And do you ever go to a game and look around and say, like, how long would it take for me to adjust all these people? Like, you couldn't do it. There's no lack of spines distorted. There is no lack of spines distorted. It's like that old joke they say about the salesman going to somewhere and saying, like, nobody wears shoes here, right? So there's no business, versus someone saying, hey, send more shoes. Nobody wears shoes here. Right? There's, like, you have barefoot people everywhere that need shoes. You have people with distorted spines all around you. There is no limit on that. There's absolutely no limit on the people that need your help. We have 6 billion people to reach. It just is up to you to create things in such a way that there's space to see them. So realize that there's no limit on that. So you ever hear of, like, on a motorcycle, they can put a governor on it? All right, we used to have, back when we first opened and we couldn't afford a second car, we got for a couple of years, we had a scooter. Which was our second vehicle, because we didn't have money for a second vehicle, so we got that as a way to go back and forth to the office. Until Rochelle got pregnant the second time, we said, well, it's probably not good to have a pregnant person riding a scooter, so we'll figure out something else. But the scooter had a governor on it, all right? You know, obviously, it doesn't have all that heavy an engine on it, but even it had a governor on it that you can only go a certain speed. And motorcycles commonly have a governor on it, so you can only go a certain speed. So it's a speed limiter control, a device used to measure and regulate the speed of a machine, such as an engine, to stop you from potentially going faster. Mm-hmm. So what happens is, what people don't realize is that they're the governor on their life. You guys, all of us, are really the only limit, and we put our own governor on what we're doing and how we do it and how many people we can see. When I get a message from one of you that says, they're scheduling too many patients for me to see in a time frame, that's because there's a governor in your mind about what you can do. When we had you read that, I put the number 1,000 intentionally because it made you uncomfortable, because there's a governor somewhere in your mindset around what's possible. Because remember, you don't have to see them. How many chiropractic graduates are there that would love to have a job? You tell me, are there a lot that need someone to work for? Like, would it be great if you could have so many people that you're employing 3 and 4 and 5 doctors and they were all profitable and successful under your tutelage? Like, would that be more impactful? Is that possible?
That'd be awesome.
That'd be awesome. Right? And do those people exist? And do they need to be mentored and they need people to work for them? And are there people that are team members that are looking for jobs that they would feel fulfilled with because they're impacting people's lives for the better? There's tons of them. I mean, our team, believe me, they're not there because they particularly love working for me. They're there because they love the vision of what we do and they love impacting people's lives. And they love so much on being able to help people and see like the magic that happens in people's lives. So realize that you're the one putting the limits on all of that. Because there's somewhere where there's a comfort zone and coming out of that is something that is too much effort or too much work or might just feel uncomfortable. There was one time, it was the first time I met Liam Schubel. Anybody know Liam Schubel? He's on Facebook once in a while. You can find him there. So it was the first Sherman College board meeting I was at. And afterwards, we went out to dinner, and I had never met the guy before, and we were sitting down, and I didn't know anything about him. We were just sitting having dinner. And he says, oh yeah, I have 16 offices in the Dominican, and I was like, huh? Where do you live? New Jersey. I'm like thinking, well, how did you do that? And he gave me a very interesting answer. He said, I just kept bringing more people in. I just kept bringing more people in. But so often, especially various tonal practitioners, are too afraid to even make the step to bring one CA in. Let alone that he employs 150 people and something like 50 doctors of chiropractic. Which is having more impact, isn't it? And it's more lives being impacted. And there's no reason why any one of you can't do that. Okay? Oh, actually, there is one reason. It's the governor that you have on things. So here's what I want for you after this weekend. And after this video, we're going to hear from my better half.
Run away, Forrest. Run, Forrest! Run away! Hurry!
Get the bike!
Hurry up! Let's get it! Look out,
you wouldn't believe it if I told you.
But I can run like the wind blows. From that day on, if I was going somewhere, I was running.
So, I still love that scene. So here's the thing. Most of you just don't, all of us, I'll include me in that, don't just have one governor on us. We have two, three, or four. They're literally shackling our legs from running any faster. And we have to figure out what those are and break free of them. And each time you break free of them, you run a little bit faster. And that's not about you, but it's about you having more impact and saving more lives and serving people that really need you to show up. So I'm grateful you're here this morning, and I really hope the weekend stretches you and you learn a lot and everybody has fun together. We're going to have to switch over to hear from the fantabulous Dr. Rochelle. Like, we have to switch microphones and switch computers, so it's not going to be seamless. So if anyone wants to run to the bathroom, you might want to do it. So take like 2 minutes, but grateful to have you all here.